From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
The situation between President Trump and MTG is very, very dangerous. It's not just isolated to Trump being mad at her for her disagreeing with him on some issues. It goes back to Elon Musk being driven out of the administration and Doge getting partially derailed. All the polls, all the numbers showed that killed that massive wave coming in. Trump had the highest approval rating he's ever had. People loved it. Now he's figured out that was wrong. He's bringing Musk back and has given him the head of NASA and the rest of it. But we need Musk completely back. We have to have a big tent in our populist, conservative, nationalist, common sense coalition. We don't need to be at war with Thomas Massie or MTG or any of these people. Or Senator Rand Paul. Yes, they vote their conscience like Ron Paul did. Ron Paul really built, along with myself and many others, the modern launch pad that Trump came in on. I agree with 95% of what Trump does. But when I criticize him on issues I think are wrong, like saying Epstein's a hoax, no, you being involved is a hoax, now you say, oh, no, the Democrats are involved. Investigate them. Damn right. So when I saw Trump wrong on that, I said, that's wrong. Oh, my constituents aren't my constituents. If you think Epstein thing is real, you're not MAGA. He lost like 6, 7, 8 points, according to all the top pollsters that I trust have been deadly accurate, like Mark Mitchell over at Rasmussen off that. And he kind of built it back, and now he's doing it again. I need Trump to succeed. If you actually watch MTG in these interviews, she says she loves Trump, and he's the best, and she agrees with almost everything he's doing except this, this, and that, because she's got constituents, and she's allowed to have her views, and we're not in a cult. Instead, he said really mean things about her, and now people are trying to say, choose a side, choose a side. This is hurting Trump. It's hurting America. It's hurting MAGA. And we should have people that are able to go on all the other shows like Bill Maher and other programs and talk about things that they think are right Trump's doing and bad things. Because, again, we're not in a cult. Bill Maher now goes and has dinner with Trump and says he's better than Democrats. And now a lot of them have turned on him. We're winning hearts and minds, not just here, but around the world. Globalism is in trouble. Populism is rising. And Trump did not build the wave he came in on. He rode in on it, and he did a great job, and he was a perfect catalyst for it. But now he's starting to behave like he's not worried about his original constituents because he's not facing re-election. This could really taint MAGA into the future. It could really hurt J.D. Vance and his great shot at beating Newsom. I'm really thinking about winning here. I have some of the America Firsters, and I see myself as that. You know, I was saying that, calling myself America First 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Mad saying, oh, you know, you're not holding Trump's feet to the fire enough. Then I've got people that want to be in like a MAGA cult saying, oh, no, you don't question anything out of his administration. It's crazy. MTG is a great lady, a good friend of mine. Her husband with Right Side Broadcasting was the only major media operation that didn't turn on Trump. When they stole the election from him, he stuck with Trump. Now they're demonizing him for no reason. Not Trump, but some of his people. I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts, ladies and gentlemen. The target is AOC and Mondami and Schumer and the globalist and Keir Starmer and the EU and Ursula von der Leyen, all this tyranny we face. Let's come together. Everybody wanted to pick a side, Musk or Trump. I said, don't pick a side, but we should be nice to Musk and try to keep him in there and defend him from the neocons and others that want him out because they wanted the power over Trump. And I was right. So if you guys want to lose the midterms, keep celebrating attacking MTG and keep celebrating like you're in high school and you're picking the, you know, the cool kid and who the captain of the football team is going to be. That's not how this works. God bless you all. Be live today at 4 p.m. Central out of the legendary InfoWars studios with all the analysis and breaking news. Mexico is in total revolt against their narco-terror state, allied with BlackRock, the globalist, and the Chi-Coms, just as Trump has been pointing out. Just amazing, a very good chance that the Sheinbaum's government's going to be toppled. We know they steal elections up there. So we'll be covering all that as well today at 4 p.m. Central. Be sure and follow me right here on X at Real Alex Jones. Thank you so much.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Dismantling the system of control, it's InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor.
All right, welcome to InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I'm Nick Sordor, live from a parking lot in Pennsylvania. You never really know where I'm going to end up, and I can't tell you where I'm going anyway. I just came back from New York City last night. I don't know if we have these clips queued up or not, but a few of us were outside Madison Square Garden handing out freedom, Charlie Kirk freedom t-shirts. Thousands of people, patriots, that were going to the UFC fight, pissed off a lot of leftists as well. And joining me for the hour is the host of Loud Majority Live, Kevin Smith, live from New York. Kevin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for doing this. You know, it's you never know out here in the middle of Mennonite country. My connection might die any second. So just appreciate you being here, man. And appreciate you coming out to Madison Square Garden last night. Tell us a little bit about that. What was the goal yesterday?
It was great. And I'm so happy that so many other, you know, influencers in the movement, journalists like yourself are willing to come to New York City. Particularly after the Zohran Mamdani win, a lot of people wrote off New York City, but, we're happy to have all of you guys. And honestly, everyone that came down the street, you know, they were excited. There were a lot of young kids out there, college age kids that were coming up. We were giving them out to the UFC fans, which we know are, patriots. Many of them love Charlie Kirk the same way you and I did. And it was just a great feeling. You know, people get this idea of New York City because we see the crime and we see the violence and we see the chaos. They think that if you walk outside of Penn Station, you're just immediately going to die like Grand Theft Auto. It's not like that. You know, if you go to the tourist areas, traditionally you will be fine. But it really was just great to see all the kids from Turning Point that were out there. The various chapters from all over the tri-state area were coming out and volunteering. The New York City Young Republican Club was out there with us. It was a good time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to show a video of this, but there was an incident outside of Penn Station yesterday where a guy,
it's unpredictable out here when you do crap out in the field.
But there was a guy that just was talking to Jack Posobiec, ended up.
Yeah, it seems like the guy overdosed in the middle of the. Yeah, I'm not really sure what ended up happening to him. I don't know if he had some kind of a seizure or something because he didn't seem like he was, you know, banged up or anything. He just kind of went down and Jack put him on his side. Thank God Jack knew what he was doing. You know, most people wouldn't know what they were doing in that situation. But, the guy definitely had some kind of a medical episode. I'm not sure if it was an overdose or if it was a seizure or whatnot, but he went down pretty hard. The steps outside of Madison Square Garden are marble. So it's not like he fell in the dirt. It doesn't really give, yeah. But PD was on scene pretty quickly. And then FDNY did a great job with him. So hopefully I haven't heard anything about, you know, any deaths outside of the garden this morning. So I guess the guy's doing all right.
Yeah, but the reason that I bring that up, Kevin, is because the NYPD, when we flagged them down, they didn't seem particularly concerned. This didn't seem like, I mean, it almost seemed like they see this 50, 60 times a day. You know, they the first thing that the paramedics did when they got there was administer Narcan. So, I mean, is this problem getting worse on the streets of New York City, like the fentanyl overdoses and such?
That is certainly getting worse. You know, when I said people think that you go outside of Penn Station and you're immediately killed, that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's cold in New York right now. And when it's cold, the homeless go down into the subways. They go down into Penn Station. They have free access to it. So this sort of it kills me to say it, but this might have been the third or fourth time that day that somebody just for whatever reason went down. So, you know, the cops, it is a regular occurrence, unfortunately. And with the decriminalization of drugs, it's only getting a lot worse.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll get into this more in the second segment. But President Trump this week. Your overall thoughts, man. I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. About Marjorie Taylor Greene, and he's going after Thomas Massey. A lot of this seems to have to do with maybe the upcoming Epstein vote, because now Thomas Massey, for anybody that doesn't know, Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna, a Democrat from California, filed a discharge petition, which they needed 218 signatures for. So a majority of the members of the House of Representatives. And that discharge petition, what that does is it forces a vote on the floor on the Epstein Files Transparency Act, I believe it's called. And because the discharge petition circumvents leadership, obviously Speaker Johnson didn't want this coming to the floor. You know, do you think that's what this is about? That he's trying to maybe steer people away from voting in favor of releasing the Epstein files next week? This vote is scheduled for Tuesday, by the way, so like 2 days from now.
I mean, look, it seems like it, and I can't imagine why. Look, I think that this is one of those things that I'm sure the audience will hate me for saying, but whatever comes out in these Epstein files, whatever you believed yesterday is what you will believe, you know, the next day. Same thing with like the JFK right. stuff, whatever. No, did they release the JFK files? We've been talking about it for what, 60 years now. Whatever you believed before, you believed afterwards. And I think that nefarious people on both the right and the left will find the sentence inside of these documents to bolster their arguments ahead of time. And look, it seems pretty clear that him and Trump knew each other. They were Palm Beach people. To what extent, we don't really know. But this divide that we're getting on the right now, both in the sort of Tucker Fuentes camp or whatever you want to call it, the Tucker situation, and the Marjorie Taylor Greene Trump stuff, it's got to stop. It's got to stop.
The Tucker cost, I believe they're calling it. But
I think that this is a real negative. People are going after Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's been a fighter, the America First movement, for a long time. And I think we all need to rein it in and unite for the midterms.
Yeah, dude, I mean, you can say lots of things about Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she firmly believes what she says. She is an actual fighter. She has principles. I've known her for years, and I know that to be true. I know, Thomas Massey is he's a guy that I've known for years as well. And I think attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene for saying things like, you know, maybe we need to focus more on domestic policy. Rather than, I mean, this might tick some people off in the audience here, but it's true. The vast majority of Americans, keep in mind, I'm out here in rural Pennsylvania, right? Talking to people in rural Pennsylvania, they don't care about the wars between India and Pakistan. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They want cheaper groceries. They want to be able to afford a home. They want their kids to be able to afford homes. And they're not seeing the tangible results of that. They don't care what's happening in the Middle East. They want to focus more on domestic policy. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is right to say that. I don't think that's why Trump is attacking her. I don't think that's the concern. But I wish more people were echoing that same sentiment.
No, absolutely. You know, it is going to, the midterms are going to be about affordability, affordability, affordability. You know, the solving the wars in Bangladesh or wherever the hell it was. I don't really, you know, whichever, Azerbaijan, that's nice. But that doesn't help, you know, a 28-year-old couple who wants to get married by a home. So I hope that we can focus on the domestic stuff that matters. If not, I think we're in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, absolutely. And other people that are in for a rude awakening are illegals that are in Charlotte and New Orleans. Big operations underway with Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino, who is a savage, an absolute savage. We'll be talking about that and more right after the break. Stay tuned, InfoWars Sunday Briefing.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami, look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hardworking middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not... not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melt and the polar bears all drown. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy, when it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks, that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill, not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4, not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
Guys, you know, we've seen all across the country riots and border patrol and ICE agents being shot at by leftist militants and, hell, even Hispanic gangs in Chicago. And that hasn't slowed them down. That hasn't slowed them down at all, actually. They're expanding to more blue cities like Charlotte, North Carolina, and New Orleans, the two next cities on the list for mass immigration raids. We've seen convoys of dozens and dozens of Border Patrol agents rolling into Charlotte, North Carolina. And keep in mind, this is where Irina Zarudska was killed as well. So crime in that city has been a problem for quite some time. They don't cooperate with ICE, so illegals can be arrested there 30, 40 times and not turned over to federal authorities, even if there is a detainer in place by ICE to capture these illegals. So, as you can see here, arrests happening all over the city. They are wasting no time sending these people back to wherever the hell they came from. You know, Kevin, I know this was a big issue in the last election, was immigration and Biden's open border policies. There's a strong rebuke of that. Do you think President Trump has gone far enough? Are deportations what people expected? Or do people want more? What you got your finger on the pulse of the American people here. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are, because the left is trying to make it look like this is some sort of Nazi Gestapo going around making these arrests. But you know, last I checked, I think 80 million people voted for this, and actually probably even more.
Absolutely. And you know, look, I want to be clear. The more of these arrests we get, the more people that are out there, the more we're going to get videos that look rough. You know, some of these videos, if we're being honest here, they don't look great. But this is what the American people voted for. And the amount of illegal immigrants in this country, particularly in the minor metros, you know, New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami, they get a lot of the headlines. But like we said, Charlotte, North Carolina, New Orleans, these are sanctuaries for these illegal immigrants, because if you want to hide out but still get a big city feel and still get all that sort of stuff, you're going to try to stay out of Chicago, New York, and L.A. You're going to go to Denver. You're going to go to Albuquerque. Yeah. You're going to go to Phoenix. You're going to go to some of these minor metros around the country. And I think that everything that is wrong with this country is downstream of illegal immigration, in that look at the SNAP benefit program, the amount of abuse and fraud going on in that with people who have no right to have those sorts of programs, Medicaid, Medicare sort of subsidies. Everything is fixed when we have the correct amount of people in this country that we know are actually able to apply for these sorts of benefits. A lot of people don't have a problem with the idea of SNAP if it's going to Americans that are hurting. But to find out that illegal immigrants are getting these SNAP benefit programs makes people a lot less inclined to care if they go away, which will eventually hurt Americans. So I think that if we're able to get this under control, we're going to be able to really rein in some of these far-reaching federal programs.
Yeah, and Kevin, that goes back to housing affordability as well, right? If you were to deport 20 million plus illegals that are in this country, housing prices have to go down, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be more places for American families to occupy, more places for them to call home versus these, you know, illegals that are driving up. I mean, hell, 10% of Minneapolis is Somali for some reason. I don't know why we need hundreds of thousands of Somalis to be imported into American cities, but say you deport 500,000 of them out of Minnesota. People of Minneapolis are, you know, they might, you know, whine and complain about deporting people that don't even like them, to be honest. But they're going to like the results of that. And I don't think you can be serious about driving down housing prices. Like Zohran Mamdani, for example, in New York, you know, the guy that you voted for up there, you're running on rent stabilization and stuff and capping rent and putting on a rent freeze, whatever he's doing. I mean, he's not actually going to be able to do any of this, but that's what he says he's going to do, of course. Don't you think it'd be a lot more effective if you were to just deport? How many illegals do you think are in New York at this point? A million?
I mean, there has to be a million. You know, there's
no. We don't even know. That's part of the problem. Yeah. We have no idea.
Exactly.
And I mean, I noticed this. I actually had to drive through New York City yesterday, and the amount, they're pretty easy to spot, right? They're driving the wrong way down one ways on these e-bikes. They're running red lights. I mean, it was like I felt like I was driving through a minefield trying to avoid these people. And I don't know why we're not seeing larger ICE operations in somewhere like New York City. Who cares if NYPD and the city won't cooperate? Just do it anyway. You know, they've already got a communist mayor coming in. You think he's going to help at all? No, we can't just give up on deporting people in America's largest city.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, I don't want to stereotype anybody, but if you're scooting around on one of these e-bikes, I'm going to go 80-90% you're an illegal immigrant. Like, there are very few New Yorkers scooting around. And, you know, it's wild because you see these videos of, like, Mumbai with, like, streets where the scooters are just mowing people down on the streets. And you're like, how can anybody live like that? And I'm like, what do you live like that? It's 7th Avenue. Like, it's just it's Fashion Avenue, that where right outside of the Apple Store, that these sorts of things are happening. I think that it really is such a serious concern, particularly just those e-bikes. For people that don't live in the big cities, you have no idea how dangerous these things are. They're not insured. The people don't respect, like, you know, red lights and stop signs. You got people getting mowed down in crosswalks, and there's nothing they can do about it. You know, you can't sue the illegal immigrant who doesn't have insurance on his electric motorcycle. It really creates a serious problem. But I think that I'm happy to see ICE is ramping up. I'm happy to see that they're being allowed to do their job. And at the very least, whatever happens in the midterms, we know that these sorts of things will continue into the future.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to the midterms, I think unless we start getting serious talking about the affordability crisis, I know people don't like to do it. I know people like to look at the stats that they show on Fox or whatever of grocery prices being down and poultry prices coming down and stuff, but people aren't seeing that. That's not their experience when they're going to the grocery store. I don't know where these I know gas prices have dropped. I like, yeah, that's pretty noticeable. So we'll give that.
Sure, but
it doesn't seem like anybody is.
If your egg prices go down 10%, but your steak price goes up 20, are you winning? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And it is going to be all about affordability. And like we said with the illegal immigrants, if they are not living in the homes anymore, the supply goes up. Supply and demand. It is basic economics that I think that we are going to fix here by removing so many people from New York City. Real quick before we go to break. I was talking to a real estate friend of mine from my people who watched Friends in the 90s. Joey and Chandler's apartment would cost $7,000 a month. The crappiest apartment on planet Earth. That is why Zohran Mamdani won.
Yeah, I mean, love him or hate him, he was saying what people up there want to hear. They want to feel like they have a little bit of hope. And they're not going to get what they're looking for with this guy, but it is what it is. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has, like, a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily
staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Truth they don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
And welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. One thing that I love about Mennonite country out here in rural Pennsylvania, I'm a big fan of the Mennonites going on right now at a really terrible time, but don't have Antifa out here. It's awfully nice. I'm in a place that I don't have to worry about being attacked. It's very safe out here, very nice people. And the administration, the Trump administration, has promised, and they promised me personally as well, after my arrest in Portland for confronting Antifa out there, that they would get serious on taking on this terrorist organization, this domestic terrorist organization. And actually this week, they deemed 4 Antifa-linked groups foreign terrorist organizations. I don't believe that you're going to be seeing Obama-style drone strikes on any of them anytime soon, although, who knows? I've seen more surprising things come out of the administration recently, but President Trump addressed this a couple weeks ago from the Oval Office, and I still want to play this clip real quick because these are the people that we should really be drilling down into. Go ahead and roll that clip.
Hate people. This is organized. They're committing acts of political terrorism on American soil. And it's time we had a government that looked out for the American people rather than the people who are committing violence against the American people.
When you go out to Portland and you see what's happening in Portland, this is great. Like nobody's ever seen anything like it every night. And this has gone on for years. They just burned the place down. And you know, the shop owners, most of them have left, but the few shops that are open, they just use plywood and just like 3/4 inch plywood. They don't put storefronts because they know it's going to be burned down. These are professional agitators.
Right.
These are bad people, and they're paid a lot of money by rich people, some of whom we know. I'm sure I know some. I don't. If I knew, I wouldn't associate because I'll be in trouble because Pam will say, "Why are you associating with this person?" But I will tell you that these are bad, bad people, and they're paying a lot of money, millions of dollars. But take a look at Portland sometime. These are crazy people, and they're trying to burn down buildings, including federal buildings. And on my list of things that I want to do before we finish up with the cities, because I think we're going to whip the cities back into shape, but we have to. We cannot let our cities, and that's a small example, but it's the most violent example. It's every night, and they've done it for years. You think maybe at some point they made their point, and what are they doing? But we're going to get out there, and we're going to do a pretty big number of those people in Portland that are doing that. They're professional agitators and anarchists. They're actually anarchists. Yeah. Go ahead. Why don't you defend? Let's see you defend them, Jim.
No, I'm not defending anyone. I just want so that we can just explain this in our stories. Can you name a couple?
You don't explain it right, though, Jeff. Go ahead. Let's go. Maybe let's give you another chance. Go ahead.
Antifa, Soros. Yeah. What names are we talking about?
Well, Soros is a name certainly that I keep hearing. I don't know, but Soros is a name that I hear. I hear a lot of different names. I hear names of some pretty rich people that are radical left people. Maybe I hear about a guy named Reid Hoffman. Somebody's a pretty rich guy, I guess, and I hear about him. I don't know. Maybe could be him. Could be a lot of people. We hear the same names. But they're bad, and we're going to find out. And if they are funding these things, they're going to have some problems because they're agitators and they're anarchists.
Yeah, so, Kevin, you hear this coming out of the White House. You hear about George Soros and Reid Hoffman potentially being, I mean, not even potentially being behind a lot of this, the funding of these riots across the country, these violent riots. I mean, a hell of a lot more of a, what happened at ICE Portland when they zip-tied the gates shut, set fires in the driveway. They barricaded agents inside of the building, not allowing them to come out. And Portland police obviously wouldn't respond to calls for help from DHS agents that were trapped inside. And the DHS agents can only use so much force to take themselves out. They can't arrest people as easily as a local police officer can. But I hear a lot, Kevin, that not enough is being done. There's a lot of talk and lack of action. Are we demanding too much too quickly? Are the wheels of justice turning here? Like, it seems like we're not seeing many tangible results. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Are we just asking for too much too quickly?
Well, you know, I think that and this goes for a lot of issues with government. Government will never, ever move as quickly as the world in which we currently live. Unfortunately, that's just not the way our system is set up. I wish that all this stuff would happen faster. I wish deportations would happen faster. I wish investigations would happen into these Antifa leaders a lot faster. But it just doesn't. Unfortunately, that's not the way our system is set up. And I know people are getting very, very impatient, and I absolutely don't blame them for being impatient on these sorts of things. But to see that the White House is actually acknowledging the problem is a good first step. And, you know, we used to live in a country where people took left-wing domestic violence seriously. You know, back in the 70s with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and the Weather Underground, people actually took it seriously. So it's nice to see that there is at least going to be some looking into of the people who are funding these operations and some looking into of how it is we stop it. Because this has been going on, you know, we saw the riots at Berkeley over the weekend. I remember 10 years ago when Ben Shapiro and Milo and Ann Coulter spoke at Berkeley, the same thing happened. And it's taken 10 years to hear out loud that this is actually a real phenomenon that you and I have experienced, that we've all experienced together. And it's nice to actually see. So I would urge everyone, I know it's tough, but be patient and we'll see what comes of it.
They've been in a lot of contact with me. There's only so much they can tell me. Like I've met with the top levels of the FBI. The Attorney General Pam Bondi has been very responsive to me. Harmeet Dhillon as well. I think a lot of the issues, and this is just my personal opinion on this, is these institutions like the FBI and the DOJ have so much rot in them that they're hardly salvageable. I think that is it. I think there's a constant internal battle between some of the really worst people in our society, and you have to root them out. I mean, you saw how it was like an all of the a bureau effort to take down conservatives, especially after January 6th. You know, they were sending SWAT teams to raid grandma's houses who walked through the Capitol building, and then the FBI sent strike teams to the houses of pro-life protesters. And I think that's what we want to see happen. We know that they can do it. That's what we want to see happen, but maybe it's just they just don't have a firm grip on the institutions yet. I mean, I know it's been 10 months, but you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of FBI agents that are probably working to undermine the new leadership. I know there is a cabinet official who I won't name that I was talking to who said that I asked how many people in their entire department they feel like they can trust, and their answer was, I can count them on one hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's a battle, and I think that might have something to do with it. I know Dan Bongino, for example, is a I've known him personally. He's a fighter. A dude's not trying to. He's trying to do the right thing. At the end of, I truly believe that. But you know, we're gonna get more into the FBI stuff here in the next segment with Tucker Carlson forcing the FBI's hand a little bit to start releasing more information on this Thomas Crooks guy that we know almost nothing about after over a year. You know, we run to the impression that he had like very little online presence, and now we're finding out he had like 20 something social media accounts. So we're going to dig into that a little bit more with Kevin right after the break here, live from Mennonite country out here in Pennsylvania. This is InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sorter. We'll be right back after the break.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami, look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hardworking middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy, when it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks, that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2+2=4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else. The poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. Still here with Kevin. I am, again, live from Mennonite country out here in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of wind. It's like there's a pop-up tornado or something, of course, right? It's like I'm on air every single time. There's always something. But anyway, Kevin, I don't know. Did you watch the Tucker Carlson piece that came out a few days ago about Thomas Crooks out there in, actually, in this state, not too far away? Maybe I'll hit Butler on my way to where I'm going next and... Did you watch that documentary that he did, the little mini doc?
I did watch a little bit of it. I've seen some of the clips from it. By the way, you're like Carmen Sandiego. Every day we wake up and we're sitting here going, where in the world is Nick Sorter today? But it is like you are a traveling man for sure. But you know, look, there was a lot of things about this story that didn't make sense from the very beginning. And I am not somebody who immediately jumps to something doesn't make sense. Therefore, there is some sort of nefarious act going on. But the fact that a 20-year-old doesn't have any social media presence, the fact that we know nothing about this guy, the fact that we seem to know everything about every other human being almost immediately, except for the guy who tried to kill the president. This cannot be some kind of Kennedy thing where we know nothing about this guy in the era in which we live. Everyone's got a digital footprint. I don't care who you are. And we were talking about the FBI before. Look, I like Dan and I like Cash. I know them both. I think they're doing a good job. But when stuff like this comes out that they jump the gun a little bit, it gives people less confidence in the job that they're doing. And like I said, we both know them. You know, they're good people. They're not nefarious actors. But when we start getting when it takes Tucker Carlson to release information about this guy that the FBI is choosing not to, it makes you wonder why wasn't it released, and what else is out there?
Yeah, and we've been led to believe for the longest time that this guy was just off the grid. He didn't have any friends, didn't have any, you know, family, didn't have it. Like, nobody seemed to know him. That was sort of the narrative that was played out, and that they didn't have any information from any online accounts and such. And now in this, Tucker was able to uncover his YouTube channel and saw these YouTube comments that the guy was making. Calling for, you know, like Ilhan Omar back in like 2017 to be assassinated. And then all of a sudden he turned into a radical leftist somehow. And one of the last comments that he made was in response, was correspondence back and forth with an Antifa, a leftist Antifa militant out in Europe. And then he just disappeared. I mean, he started calling for the assassination of President Trump and stuff. And it's like, does the FBI not see this stuff? Do they not catch this? I was under the impression that they were, you know, monitoring this stuff online, especially these public calls for assassinations of elected officials over the course of years. Nobody picked up on that.
Just this footage that we're seeing playing right here of him sitting in the classroom or the bunny ears behind him, just that is new footage that has not been released before for the most part. And the question is, why has it not been? And, you know, you would think that, I mean, look, you would think that there's enough people out there that can do enough sleuthing that we would have found the stuff. So it makes you wonder, like, where does this lead? The whole loner thing never really, you know, that dog never really barked for me. You know, obviously he's kind of a weirdo, but everybody's got friends somewhere, particularly in the internet age, where, you know, you can be friends with somebody. I mean, you and I were friends for about a year before we met, you know? So it's like, it's everybody's got somebody out there. So the question is, what, like this is the first time I'm seeing that image right there of him on the roof following it. And the question is why?
Yeah. And then you also had the FBI's the FBI's technical hazard response unit that was doing cleanup on the rooftop. I mean, the FBI doesn't have their own version of ServPro. That's not what these people are supposed to be for. And so the fact that they were up on the rooftop so quickly hosing it off, you know, I spoke with an FBI agent the other day on this. He's a career FBI agent for decades, and he's never seen them do anything like that. You know, they are supposed to make sure that a crime scene is safe for investigators to do their job, not clean up. They contract that out. But, like, there's no law enforcement agency in the United States that is cleaning up after a cleaning up gory crime scenes. So that was questionable as well. I mean, dude, there's so many things that we are wondering about. Like, why would they do that? Why did they sorry, there's somebody right behind me. I always get spooked when people like walk near me when I'm doing these live shots after what happened on Maui, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Always paranoid. But anyway, yeah, look, man, it caused some problems for the FBI this week.
And look, it's not that he didn't have a social media. He seemed to have every social media. I mean, I don't even know what Quora is, but like, he was on it. You know, so it's like he just didn't have a Facebook and a Twitter account. So that means he didn't have social. He wasn't on Instagram. He had Snapchat like every other 20-year-old I know. He had a Gmail account like everyone else we know. Like, so to my mind, and like the cleaning up of the crime scene, look, it's not the first crime scene we've cleaned up very rapidly after a high profile. And it's like, I don't want to think that something is happening, but it's to what you were saying before about they can count the people they trust on one hand. You know, they've been recruiting out of Harvard and Yale and Georgetown, these left-wing institutions. They've been recruiting out of these places for decades. And anyone who thinks that, I don't care how good Cash or Dan are, they're not going to be able to clean up the totality of the nefarious actors in the FBI in the year that, or not even a year, the 10 months that they've been in office. So it goes back to the patience thing again that we talked about. And it's frustrating because a lot of these bad actors do have, you know, they have, I don't know about the FBI, but a lot of them have union protections where they can't just be fired for malfeasance, or they can't just be fired for being bad at their job. You know, I try to explain to people on my show all the time. It took 70 years to build the nefarious institutions that we are dealing with. If you guys think that we're going to win this in an election cycle, it's just never going to happen. There's no way you reverse a century of institutional, you know, bureaucracy in 4 years. It's just not going to happen. That's why this movement must be sustained. This movement must grow post-Trump into whomever may be next.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the argument that people make is, you know, we need to focus more on domestic policies than foreign policy instead of worrying about what's happening in the Middle East. I personally could not care less what's happening in the Middle East, and nobody here in God's country cares what's happening in the Middle East either, as I said earlier in the show. And you're right, it's going to take some time. I mean, we have some pretty, it's a pretty tall task to weed all these people out. And we knew that going into it. But, you know, the FBI making this Twitter account now to respond to, it seems like they're spending a lot of time playing damage control, which, you know, some people would argue that that's, it actually is just making things worse by trying to do those damage control things. You know, I think one of the concerns that I might have about Thomas Crooks, there are two things that that Thomas Crooks and Charlie Kirk's assassin both have in common. Well, besides the fact that we know very little about either of them and people have a lot of questions, they both took hard left turns soon before they carried out these acts. And so the question that a lot of people have are, is there some sort of, like, who got into their heads? Who is it? Is it a foreign power? Is it something like who? That's what we really want to know here, especially with Thomas Crooks, because the when I was watching this documentary, the first half of it is about how he was, it looked like he was a radical right wing person, and then all of a sudden he became a radical left wing person and tried to kill President Trump. I mean, you look at some of these comments, you know, putting Hispanics back in their places and stuff. You know, that's what he was saying back in 2017, and then he took a hard left turn and tried to take out President Trump. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
You know, it's so, look, anyone who's young is going to find themselves politically. They're going to swing one way or the other. You know, there was a couple million people out there who voted for Obama twice, who voted for Trump. And I think that that's what we're seeing with a lot of this. But you're right. What did cause it? Was it an algorithmic thing that just kept feeding them, you know, bad videos, or was it a sort of deep in the weeds Reddit thing that led these people down? I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, Kevin, I appreciate you sticking with me through the connection issues and the tornadoes and the people walking behind me and stuff. Kevin, where do people find you?
You guys can find me on X at Kevin_Smith45 or LFA TV on Rumble.
All right. Appreciate you guys watching live here from a Pennsylvania parking lot. InfoWars Sunday Briefing. We'll see you next week.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com, from shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements. InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.